We'll sure be grateful for your prayers. Lord, bless his word. I'm thankful for his word. I'm thankful that it's real and that it's alive and it's relevant and it works. Pray that the Lord will speak to us through it as he would see fit this morning. Message that the Lord has given me to share with you this morning is about our counselor. A counselor is an occupation, in a sense. You can receive training or perhaps go to school and receive certifications to be a counselor. There are counselors in a school setting, counselors that are provided perhaps even to in schools to young children that may come with troubles either inside of school or outside of school, and they try to work with the children. Counselors provided, perhaps high school students, as they're getting to an age to try to decide, what am I going to do with my career? What do I do when I graduate? What do I do next? What are the paths that I could consider? What classes should I take? How should I try to prepare for that time? And a counselor is there with presumably the understanding and the knowledge of, well, here are some things that you ought to consider that you may not be thinking about right now. There are counselors in business. It's a lucrative opportunity for some people who get into that kind of field to come in with, usually with knowledge of the particular industry, and maybe they've worked with companies that they've helped to turn around from being in the red financially, or maybe leadership troubles and things like that, and they've worked with them and helped to turn it around, and they come to another business now that's in trouble and say, I'll be a contractor for you. I'll come and work with you to do the same thing for you, to be able to turn your business around. There are financial counselors or financial advisors that maybe somebody says, I have my retirement account I'm looking at, and I want to be able to plan for retirement, but I don't know the first thing about the stock market. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's good to invest in and what's not a good idea to invest in, and tax law and all those sorts of things. It's above me. I want to go to somebody that is an expert in that field, that knows what they're talking about, that's familiar with the laws and familiar with the pitfalls and things that could be able to say, well, look out for this over here, because I've seen this. I've seen people get into this kind of situation where they regretted it down the road. So don't get into that kind of a place. Here are some things that you should think about and how you should prepare and provide for the future and those sorts of things. Counselor. So there may be different times in life that we say, I wish I had a counselor of some sort and in some capacity. Maybe there's somebody whenever you've got a plumbing issue. I'd sure like to have somebody that knows what they're doing to be able to walk me through it. My car's making a funny sound. There's only so much knowledge that I have, only so much capacity that I have to be able to diagnose and to be able to, I don't anywhere near know it all. So it's good to recognize that and to be able to go to somebody that does know more than I know on a particular subject or field and say, can you help me with this? There are people who have been in a particular trade for many years who have seen all kinds of automotive problems, if that's their field, or all kinds of plumbing issues, and they know how to deal with that kind of situation. I've been there. I've dealt with that kind of thing before. And here's what I did about it. Here's what worked for me. And sometimes it's helpful to be able to say, well, let me tell you what didn't work. Don't try this. Don't go do it this way because such and such happened to me and it cost me and it didn't work out well. And wisdom would say, listen to those counselors. Listen to their advice. Let your plans and your purposes be established in the multitude of counselors. Because there are decisions in life that I need help with, that are too big for me. There are things out ahead that I don't know. I don't know what's coming. I don't know how to prepare for tomorrow. I don't know how to prepare for the future. People who turn to financial advisors depend upon their ability to somewhat read what the stock market's doing, and well, here's where it's likely or potentially could go, and here's how you could respond with your portfolio. You know, none of them know what's in the future. None of them could have predicted that there would be this coronavirus that impacts just about every industry in the world. They can't see those kind of things. The best that they can do is to be able to look at a pattern of historical evidence and say, well, here's what it's done in the past. Here's how it's trended, and whenever you see this start to happen, it's usually an indicator that this is what's ahead. You know, we need a counselor. We need a counselor in life. We need one who has been there. We need one who has seen it. We need one who can be able to give us an indication of what's coming in the future that I can't see. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Thank the Lord that there was a child born. Thank the Lord that there was a son given unto us, the Son of Man and the Son of God that was given unto us. And this scripture gives some of his names. His names meaning more than just some title or something that a handle of somebody, but this is who he is. Wonderful. Doesn't that describe our Savior? Have you found him to be wonderful? Have you found him to be a wonderful friend to you? Have you found him to be a wonderful redeemer? Have you found him to be wonderfully merciful to you in your life? I have. At times whenever the enemy has come in like a flood and the accuser of the brethren, and at a time whenever I, even as a young person, I felt the weight of my sins and the guilt of it and the condemnation of it, and the devil's whispering, and the Lord came in and he heard this poor man's cry and he lifted me out. He's wonderful. I have found him to be a wonderful Savior. And then it says counselor. Oh, folks, we have a better counselor today than somebody who has received a certain certification or maybe studied 4 years or 8 years and they're able to provide counsel along a particular line. Counsel on finances or counsel on career and on business, or somebody that knows what to do when your car is making a funny sound. Our God is a counselor. He is the counselor. Let's look at the 28th chapter of the same book. Isaiah 28 and the 29th verse. "This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working." You know, our counselor that we're reading about this morning, our God, our Savior, our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is wonderful in counsel. Have you ever received bad counsel? I have. And there are times that I've given counsel I've realized hadn't been the best. But you know, there's never been a person, there's never been somebody that can say, "The Lord gave me bad counsel. The Lord gave me bad advice." The Lord sent me down the wrong path in the wrong direction. He is wonderful in counsel. In other words, if he were, don't want to try to bring him down to earthly terms too much, but for our understanding, if he were like an earthly counselor, you know how they have reviews for people now, Google reviews and reviews on Yelp or whatever online, Better Business Bureau. You know his would be a 5-star rating. His counsel is right. His counsel is perfect. It's just in time. It's just what I needed. If we will but seek his counsel, if we will but heed his counsel, he is wonderful in counsel. And not only does our God give counsel, anybody can give counsel. It may not be good counsel. It may not be right counsel. But you know, there's only one who can give perfect counsel, and also his working is excellent. According to the working of his will, the Lord is able to give counsel and bring it to pass. The Lord is able to give counsel and make it possible at the same time. It's not just going to somebody, and maybe it's therapeutic. I pour out my troubles, and I pour out my problems and my burdens, and they might say, well, I can talk to you, I can give you advice, but I can't do it for you. I can't really do anything to help you here, but try to talk to you. Aren't you thankful that the Lord is a God who cares and wants and will do more than just say, here's your problem. There's your problem right there. Now go do something about it. But the Lord is able to give us sound and right and solid counsel, and then say, let me help you with that. Oh, I found at times whenever the Lord has come along in conviction in my own life, and He's shown me something in my life. You know, the devil comes along and he points out needs in our life as well. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He'll come along and say, look at that fault. Look at this fault. Look at this problem you have. And it leaves you hopeless. It leaves you in despair. That is the voice of the devil. Oh, but our wonderful counselor, whenever we come to him and he begins talking to us, oh, that feeling of a burning conviction inside, it's not necessarily pleasant. But oh, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby. The Lord comes along, he smites, and he also binds up. He comes along and he convicts, and then he also heals. He comes and he points out, and then he also gives us the help to do something about it. Oh, what a wonderful counselor is our God. There's really no comparison. It's not a fair comparison. It's not a right comparison to earthly counselors, to earthly advisors. They can't do what our God can do. Man is at a disadvantage. Let's look at 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. Familiar account here from the life of David, Samuel. 1 Samuel 16, in verse 7. If you'll remember, the children of Israel had demanded, we want a king, like all the other nations around us. You know, the Lord was the one who wanted to be and had been their king and their advisor, if they would seek him and fear him and trust in him. But they said, no, we want our own king. Oh, there's no king like our God. There's no counselor like our God. But they persisted in that and demanded a king. And the Lord chose their first king. And as the Lord had warned, their first king turned from the Lord. He turned into his own ways. And now as the Lord saw fit to call and anoint another king. How are you going to do that? How are you going to select the right king? You know, I've been part of interview processes quite often, and I usually feel pretty inadequate. I know what it feels like to be on the interviewing side of the table. Somebody's questioning me, and I really want and I need this job, and I think I'm able to do it, and they're asking me questions, and can I show them in 45 minutes, in 30 minutes? Can I convince them? And when I'm on the other side of the table, how do I assess someone's life and their history and their character and how they're going to be 5 years from now? How do I assess that in just a little bit of time from a few questions? And you aren't to make hiring decisions based on what you see. That's a legal no-no. You can't do that. So with the questions and the answers and trying to read into it, and how do I know what kind of employee they're going to turn out to be? Well, what about if it's your king? Your king that's going to rule over you and your family and your nation. How are you going to decide and choose the right king? Well, we need a pretty thorough interview process. Everybody that's interested, you apply for the job and come by, and we're going to have a panel interview, and maybe we're going to test your skill in battle, and we'll have a little contest here and try to narrow it down. And how are you going to decide? Man's at a disadvantage. 1 Samuel 16. Well, the Lord had told Samuel to go, and he was going to, wanted him to choose out a king of the sons of Jesse. And so Samuel called for all his sons, and he went kind of one to another, and there were some certainly who it seemed like, looked like, they would be more qualified or more king material, but they didn't feel as Samuel was not relying upon his own intuition. He wasn't relying on his own intellect. He was relying upon the Lord. And as he looked to the Lord, he said, no, this isn't it. This isn't him. The sixth verse, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And you know, that's not something we can do. That's not something when I'm interviewing somebody for a job. I can't look at their heart. I can't look at what's inside of there. I'm so limited. They were able to look on the outward appearance and what he looks like. And if he looks tall in stature and maybe commanding, and maybe this other one is the one, if he walked into the room and his booming voice maybe just projected, and now that seems like a king. And the Lord said, no. Don't depend on what you can see. Don't be your own counselor, in other words. Don't rely upon your ability to rightly choose this, because the Lord doesn't look on the outward man like you do. The Lord looks way down inside into the heart, into the root of the matter, into what motivates a man and makes a man what he is. And that's where I'm looking. That's where I'm searching out. And so they chose David of the Lord's counsel. But had it been their own counsel, they surely would have chosen a different king. John, the 8th chapter. John 8 in the 15th verse. Jesus said, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. My judgment is true. I don't judge after the flesh. I don't just look at it. It's not just as shallow as the surface. And people, of course, use those things to say, well, the outward appearance doesn't matter. That's not consistent or in keeping with Scripture. That's not what the Scripture was bearing out here. But the Lord looks deeper. He looks beyond that. He looks at the motivations. He looks at the desires of the heart. He looks at the thoughts of the mind from which come out the behaviors and all of those sorts of things. Well, of course somebody could in a job interview, or they're being considered for king. I'm putting my best behavior on here. I'm putting my best foot forward. But the Lord looks beyond all of that. He looks beyond the best foot. He looks beyond the best behavior, and he sees the worst behavior, if you will. He sees us at our weakest moment. The Lord knows us through and through. And he said, my judgment, it's not a roll of the dice or a flipping of the coin or, well, I think it looks to me like, no, in Revelation he said, thus saith the true and faithful witness. The Lord gets it right every time. The Lord's counsel is sound, it's sure, it's true, and it's right. Let's turn back to Isaiah now, the 11th chapter. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in the beginning, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, shall he slay the wicked. I remember one time as a supervisor, I had two employees that didn't get along at all. And they would have their little squabbles and arguments and disagreements and whatever. Well, I came in one day and one of the employees said, Clint, we had problems last night. It was a second shift job. He said, we had problems last night after you left. These two women, and he named them out, they got into almost a physical altercation to the point that even the grown men there working were hiding behind their machines to try to get out of the path of whatever might come from their wrath. And he said, it was ugly, it was awful, it was terrible, it needs to be dealt with. Oh. So I summoned both of them, and well, first I went to this one, and I said, well, what happened? And told me the story, and well, my goodness, why would the other one have done such a thing? And I went to the other one, and I said, well, what happened? And she told me the story. I said, now, wait a minute. That's not what I just heard. Why would she have done that? So I said, come together. We're going to have a meeting. This is time for me to talk and you to listen. The way that you've been acting is not professional. It's not appropriate. And frankly, it's like children. And they both nodded their heads in full agreement, looking at the other person. And I said, what do I do with this? How do I divide between the... I had quite a headache that evening by the time I left. You know, I think about Solomon. You remember what Solomon's desire was? Whenever he had sought the Lord and offered many offerings, sacrifices to the Lord, and the Lord appeared to him and he said, Solomon, what is it that I should give to you? What was Solomon's desire? Blank check now. He said, oh Lord, who am I to be able to lead so great a people as this? Lord, I'm like a child not knowing how to go in and come out. Lord, I feel my inadequacy. I realize the awesome place and responsibility you've called me to. So Lord, would you give me wisdom? Lord, help me to be able to know how to go in and out. Help me to be able to know how to rightly judge this thy people. And it pleased the Lord. And the Lord gave him wisdom, and he was known as the wisest man on the earth. Remember the story of the woman who rolled over on her son at night, and the other one, that woman said, well, it was this other son, and there was this argument between the two of them and brought him to Solomon. All right, Solomon, he did a better job than I did as a supervisor. How are you going to handle this one? Bring all the toughest cases to the king. And the Lord gave him wisdom. You know, that is the source of wisdom. There is an earthly wisdom, but it's really not that. It's really not. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Solomon's wisdom was not because he was born with an extraordinary knowledge, an extraordinary just understanding of No, it came from the Lord. His discernment and his understanding in that situation was brought to him, and he saw right through it. He saw past the stories and the words and all of that, and he said, bring me the baby and let me divide it. Of course that wasn't his intention or his purpose, but he knew what was in the heart of a mother. And he played on that. He used that to say, let's get to the bottom of this. It's what our judicial system is supposed to be doing. To get to the bottom of it. Our judicial system, and I have to say, compared to many other nations around the world, I'm thankful for our system. It's not perfect. There have been plenty of mistakes that have been made. But the way it was designed is to get down to the fact of it. No matter who you are, if you're known or if you're unknown, if you're rich and famous or if you're poor and a nobody, get to the facts of the matter and judge the case. As they say, justice is blind. Judge the case based on the facts of the matter. And that should be their pursuit is of truth. You know, man is still handicapped. To be able to really get down to the root of what happened, to really get down, oh, but wisdom is of the Lord. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom. There's a story of a man, Rehoboam. Read about it in 1 Kings after Solomon's reign. The dividing of the nations. Rehoboam took rule, assumed power, and ascended to the throne. And he sought counsel of the aged men who had served his father. His father's kingdom was a peaceful kingdom. And they sought counsel. What should we do? Well, that's a wise thing to do if you're coming into power. And they gave him wise counsel. They gave him sound counsel. Here's what you do. Be, in other words, a servant leader to the people. Where they want to serve you. Win their heart and they'll serve you. Well, he wasn't satisfied with that counsel. And he went to his peers and those about him. And he said, well, what do you think? And he got different counsel. Oh, make you rule them with a rod of iron. Make it twice as difficult on them as your father did. And he took that counsel. Oh, folks, it's up to us to take sound counsel. Wisdom crieth in the streets. And many people are going right past it. Not hearing the wise counsel. Not hearing the voice of wisdom. Going on about their own way. God's way is right. His way is wise. It is the wisest way to order our lives. To order our steps. To order our marriages and our homes. And from start to finish, it is the best way. And yet people still come on the scene of life and say, I'm going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to prove it out again and make such a mess of it. Oh, we need a counselor. We need our counselor to be the Lord God. There's no shortage of counselors in our world. There's no shortage of counselors like Rehoboam's friends around him. I've seen this unfold before. A marriage start to struggle. A couple start to have marriage problems. It becomes evident. Comes out into public view. And I've seen one of those individuals or both begin to gravitate to a group of peers. Many times in a similar situation. Also having trouble with their marriage. Also not happy with their spouse. And they begin to commiserate together. And begin to take counsel one of another. Oh, be careful. Be careful seeking the counsel of peers and of friends. Because many times what happens. If I were in a place like that. Let me tell you what my wife did last night. Oh yeah, mine did the same thing. Let me tell you. I'll tell you what I did. When that happens, when she's acting like that. You go down in the man cave and lock the door and counsel. Wisdom. Earthly wisdom. But oh, there is a voice of wisdom. The still small voice of a heavenly counselor. Who says, let me show you a better way. Let me show you a right way. Let me show you a way of life. And wholesomeness. And righteousness. Let me lead you into that path. paths that are unknown to this world. Oh, the disadvantages of earthly counselors. They can't see like our God sees. David, I believe, in Psalms 1 and 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Oh, don't make the ungodly your counselor. Whenever it comes to decisions that you're making, I'm not saying if you need help planning your retirement account or something like that, or you need a mechanic, but whenever it comes to decisions in our life and the course that we're charting through life, when it comes to spiritual matters, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Again, there's no shortage of the counsel of the ungodly, of the wisdom of this world. And it seems like it's so prevalent in our world today. I'm not big into social media, but the little bit that I see, it seems like there's no lack of memes and no lack of little tidbits. Don't even know who it came from or who that person was or if they truly had any wisdom or not. But the world's saying, here's your answer. Here's what you do. Oh, Lord, help us in the noise of this world and in the din of counselors saying, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's how you live. To get alone with our counselor. To get alone with the Lord God of heaven. Oh, Lord, fill my ears with sound counsel. Lord, fill my heart with your words. Because through that, I'll be able to make right and sound decisions. That disadvantage of our counselors. You know, there's advantage to having experience in a trade, in life. Elihu said one place that years should teach and the multitude of days should give wisdom, because you've lived long enough to see. Here's a decision somebody made, and I've seen it play out now, and I saw the consequences of it. I saw the action and I saw the reaction of it. And so after living long enough, maybe even mistakes that I myself have made, not going to do that one again, not going to fall into that trap again. Oh, Lord, help me to learn from that one. There ought to be wisdom in that. You know, this world's been around a long time. There have been generation after generation after generation of people who have gone before us, who have faced situations similar to every one of our lives, to every situation. It is common to man what mankind goes through. But I can't go back into history. I can't pull out Brother Titus's experience from AD 500. I don't have it. I don't have that knowledge. I don't know what happened to him. And I don't know. And here I come fresh on the scene. You ever look at that and see the way life is? Whenever you're making the biggest decisions in life, it's when it seems like you're the least qualified to do it. I don't have life experience. I've never made these kind of decisions before. And the decisions I'm making set a trajectory for the rest of my life. And children behind me and grandchildren behind me and others around me. Oh, you remember feeling the weight of that as a young person? How do I decide what I'm going to do for work? How do I decide who I'm going to marry? How do I interview for that one? I need counsel. I need wisdom. I need understanding to be able to make a decision by something further than what I can see. But I can only see so far. And only so far into the past to be able to draw from those experiences and base my decisions on that wisdom. But you know, our counselor is the everlasting Father. From everlasting to everlasting, He is the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega, and He has seen everything in between. He's seen the foolish decisions of mankind. He's seen the courses that man has charted. He's seen what comes out of it. He has seen every trick of the devil. And He has thwarted every trick of the devil over time. He knows. So whenever we need counsel, folks, it's not hopeless. The Lord didn't make a mistake in how He set up our lives, where we're making these big decisions. But what is important and vital for us is that I get a hold of the Lord, that I get in contact with our counselor, that I have a relationship with Him. I don't want to go unadvisedly. I can't afford to in these kind of decisions. Who I'm going to live with and be married to for the next 60 plus years. Lord, You know what's down the road 15 years and 20 years. Oh, Lord, this is too big for me. Lord, You be my counselor. You be my advisor. And in a whole host of decisions that I might need to make, Lord, I need You to be my counselor and my advisor. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Everlasting, eternal. What a good perspective for a counselor to have. Oh, our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways, or in reverse. The Lord's ways are not ours. Oh, He has a perspective of eternity. He has a perspective of this whole world. He has a perspective of the past, a perspective of what's coming in the future that I cannot yet see. But our counselor sees it all. And it is from that vantage point that He stands ready as our counselor to say, if you'll wait, if you'll ask for Me, if you'll seek My counsel, I will not lead you wrong. He'll lead us into sure paths. Well, we're about out of time. But the Lord's counsel is just and right and sound. You can build your life on it. You can bank on it. It'll be right. I want to think of two others maybe before we close. One is the story of a man that God called, that God used mightily. His name was Joshua. You know, Joshua made a grave mistake. The Lord had told him, Joshua the 9th chapter, the Lord had told them, as you go into the land, don't make a league with the inhabitants of the land. You go in and you utterly destroy the nations of this land. That's the Lord's counsel. It's what the Lord said. It wasn't up for negotiation. It wasn't up for debate. It wasn't up to Joshua saying, well, you know what? I don't think that makes sense, Lord. I think I'm going to modify the plan a little bit. It doesn't work when you modify a plan. Arcs don't float whenever you modify the blueprint. It doesn't stand up. One of the nations, the Gibeonites, they heard about what had happened, Jericho, Ai, and they said they did work wily. We're not going to fight them. We're not going to defeat them by our own strength and our own military presence. That's not going to be what gives us the victory. So they said, let's change tactics here. And they put old shoes on their feet and old moldy bread. Well, how quick does bread grow mold? And old bottles of, or water bottles or flasks were old and maybe cracking. By every appearance, it looked like that they had been on a long, far journey. And it's what they said. Whenever we started out to come and find you, oh, we're not from this land. No, we're not one of these nations. But we heard tell of you, and we came from a far land. And this bread here that's all crusty and moldy, it was fresh out of the oven whenever we started on the journey. And brand new shoes that I had just made. All of this, well, look at it. You don't believe my story? Just look at the evidence. Look with your eyes. Look with the seeing of your eyes and base your judgment on that. Well, doesn't that seem reasonable? Oh, the Lord's given us our eyes for a reason. But you know what it said in Joshua 9? But Joshua sought not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Oh, Joshua. It doesn't matter how mightily you've been used. Joshua, it doesn't matter how many victories you've notched in history. It doesn't matter. And for none of us are so great. None of us have walked with the Lord so long that I can say now I put it on autopilot. I've got it from here. No, Lord, I need Thee every hour. Lord, I need You today. I need You. This one looks intuitive to me. It seems common sense to me. I got this one. No. Ask counsel of the mouth of the Lord. Lord, you see by every appearance, this is what it looks like to me. Lord, would you give me your counsel? Oh, what a different outcome would have been if Joshua would have told these people, well, why don't you wait overnight? I'm going to go get away alone with the Lord, away from the scene of my eyes. I'm going to close my eyes and it's going to be me and the Lord. Lord, you talk to me. Lord, you show me. And the Lord would have said, Joshua, don't do it. Joshua, I'll expose exactly to you what happened, what this is all about. But Joshua sought not counsel of the Lord, and he paid for it. Not only he, but you read, if you trace it down, generations after him, they were still honoring the covenant that they made, the league that they made with these people, because a man or a group of men didn't pause, didn't stop to seek counsel of the Lord. There's another, David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who loved the Lord, and the Lord loved, and the Lord had used him to win great victories for his nation. And he came to a battle against the Philistines, and he asked the Lord, this mighty man of valor, this mighty man of battle, who knows what to do, said, Lord, should I go or should I forbear? He had a counselor. He had a battle advisor. He had one that was directing his battles. It wasn't David's military prowess. It wasn't David's abilities. He was seeking counsel from one that was greater than him. And the Lord told him, David, wait. And David waited. He asked him again. And he said, David, whenever you hear the sound of a going up in the top of the tree, then you go. But wait, wait. May I leave us with that counsel this morning? Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, the decisions that we face in life, the counsel that we need, the places that, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go forward. I don't know if I'm supposed to go forward or turn. Or, oh, he said, thine ears will hear a word behind you. Oh, a still small voice. If we'll stop, if we'll be still, if we'll seek the counsel of the Lord, we'll hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord leads true and faithful, that He is a wonderful counselor, that His will, His desire, His willingness is, when we need counsel, He's there for us. He doesn't have office hours of two hours a week or book an appointment and you're probably not going to get in until next November. No. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, I need help. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm at a loss here. And our faithful, wonderful counselor is willing to speak to us, to guide us, to direct, sometimes almost audibly, sometimes by the inclination that He puts in our heart, by so many different ways that the Lord directs and guides. But we can know this. If we wait and tarry and get the mind of the Lord, the counsel will be right. You pray for me that I'll always do that. Amen.